Hello and welcome again this Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, here in this new season of Pentecost. You know, as we gather here in the midst of the world that we live in, and we look at the events that are happening in Israel, we look at the events that are happening around our world with the pandemic, we even look at things that are happening here within our own nation. And every so often as Christians, we might find ourselves asking, is this the best we can do? The world that we have, that we live in right now, seems like it has some fairly enormous flaws. And, you know, it does not take a genius to look at the flaws and say, wow, that's really bad. We should do something to make the world a better place. I think we all look out at all of the things that are wrong in the world that we live in and think to ourselves, gee, we should make the world a better place. And yet, time and time again, the world is not a better place. So what's going on? Why is this the case? Well, you know, once upon a time, we human beings, and by we, I just mean the two, because there's Adam and Eve, we did not live in a world that was anything like this. We lived in a world that was, for all intents and purposes, perfect. We did not have struggle. We did not have strain. We did not have sin. There was no question of whether or not a thing was righteous, because, of course, that was everything. There was no question of judgment because, of course, there was no judgment because there was no sin. The Garden of Eden, first chapter of the book of Genesis. But then a very bad thing happened, and we all know about the fall. And we humans entered out into this world that we live in today. And needless to say, things haven't been perfect ever since. Now, that's not to say that we don't look at the world and say, gee, it should be better. It's not to say that we don't hope for better, and sometimes we human beings have worked to make things really pretty okay-ish, sort of, better, I guess, than the way things had been, but perfect? No. We've never exactly managed perfect, although something in each and every one of us can look out into the world and say, but couldn't it be? Shouldn't it be? Wouldn't it be great if it was? And we long for that. Why? I mean, we live in this world that is highly imperfect. Why do we have the assumption that the world should be right? That there should be such a thing as justice? Why is it that one of the first phrases that kids learn to overuse is, that's not fair? Why do we have this internal sense of what is or is not fair? And the answer, of course, is because this isn't the world we were designed for. We were designed for the world represented in the Garden of Eden, you know, the perfect one. So when we look out at the brokenness of this world, well, we react to its imperfection, reasonably, understandably, because we were not designed to live in imperfection. We were designed by our God to live in the Garden of Eden. We made horrible choices. We allowed sin into humanity. And now, unfortunately, the imperfection of this world is not something that's been imposed on us. It's a product of our own choices. Now, this is not to say that God was satisfied with our choices. Not to say that God was satisfied with leaving us here in the brokenness of this world. So God began this incredible plan, this plan that goes all the way back to Adam, processes all the way up to Jesus Christ, and then from Christ on to you and me, the plan continues. And the plan begins with a Hebrew phrase. The phrase is ha'aretz. Now, if you're very, very astute, you might be familiar with the phrase ha'aretz as that is a major news source in Israel. Maybe right now you're following along with everything that's happening between Hamas and Israel in the Gaza area. And maybe you've come across Ha'aretz. Probably not, though. Most of us who haven't studied Hebrew don't know this phrase. And the phrase in English means the land. Why is that important? Well, God was speaking to one family of people, the children of Abraham. And he said to them, I will make a covenant with you, an everlasting covenant, and I will build of you a nation, and I will give you Haaretz, the land. And there you will inhabit the land, and I will inhabit the land with you. And that's exactly what happened in Jerusalem. They built a temple on the top of the hill in the middle of Jerusalem. And in the middle of the temple, they built an inner sanctum called the Holy of Holies. Within the inner sanctum, they placed the Ark of the Covenant, wherein God's Holy Spirit dwelled. And by God's Holy Spirit dwelling there, it made Haaretz, the land, sacred. If you will, it would be like if there's the kingdom of heaven up here, and then there's the kingdom of earth down here. Heaven is perfect, earth is imperfect, and the Holy of Holies was a singular bridge that connected the two, that allowed the perfection of the kingdom of God to come to rest on one place, the Temple Mount, in the Holy of Holies, sanctifying all of Haaretz, the land, namely Israel. And that was God's connection to humanity, was the temple, the priests, people's worship of God. And of course, what was part of the worship of God if you were a Jew? You did your best to come to Jerusalem on Passover and offer your sacrifice at the temple. That one point of intersection between God's perfect kingdom and humanity's imperfection, where there your soul could be made whole through the forgiveness of your sin accomplished from the sacrifices in the temple. If that had been the end of God's plan for humanity, it might have been an okay plan, but it wouldn't have been a perfect plan, and so it wouldn't have been God's plan, would it? To have the Holy Spirit dwell in the Holy of Holies required that that place be sanctified beyond anything else. If you were a temple priest and you were in charge, and if you were in charge of the Holy of Holies, you got that job by drawing random lots because nobody wanted that job. Because when you would go in to tend to the candles and the incense, you would tie bells around your waist and a rope to your belt. And if people heard the bell suddenly go jingle and then stop moving, they knew to pull your dead body out because you had done something slightly not holy and God had struck you dead. Because in order for God's holiness to exist in that place, it had to be made perfect. Because as the kingdom of heaven is perfect, God is perfect, the Holy of Holies was perfect, and that brought blessing to Haaretz. But then something happens. Jesus Christ happens. God Almighty comes to live here on earth. He lives, he dies, he's resurrected. And what we know is that after 50 days have gone by, as the Jews celebrate Pentecost, which was a holiday they had too, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. Remember the Spirit that lived in the Holy of Holies? Now he doesn't send it to Haaretz. He doesn't send it to a place. Where does he send it? God's people. But how can he send the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to be its new temple, when we're not perfect? And the answer, of course, is Jesus on the cross. On the cross, all of our sins were crucified. We were made whole and clean by Jesus' sacrifice. Now the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And we are something significantly different than the Holy of Holies. We're significantly different than Haaretz. We move. We go places. We travel. And more importantly, we talk. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, tells them that there are so many things he wants to tell them that he can't yet tell them, but that the Spirit of truth is coming and that it will guide them into all truth. He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost that comes to dwell in those of us who are Christian. What does that mean? That means that once there was a very narrow bridge that connected the kingdom of heaven and humanity, and that one place, the Temple Mount, the Holy of Holies, where we could have hope for the forgiveness of our sins, in order that we might be brought into right relationship with God, that place is no more. In fact, we're told that on the night that Jesus was crucified, as he died, the curtain that screened off the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was split in two. Why? the Holy Spirit slammed the door on its way out, because now it dwells within us. We are the kingdom of God. And now instead of that kingdom coming in one little place, it goes where we go. It affects the world where we are. We are effectively the spreaders of perfection. We may not feel like that a lot of the time because we're not yet perfect beings. We will be one day in heaven, but we're not today. But we are perfectly forgiven. And we bear the truth. See, Jesus says, the Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth. We know the truth about sin. It is forgiven by Christ on the cross. We know the truth about righteousness. It has been given to us as a free gift. We know about judgment and that we are going to be judged to be worthy of the kingdom of God, not because we're great and fabulous and marvelous, but because Christ is, and we believe in Christ, and Christ is in us. We are to go out into the world spreading that message. Every time one Christian spreads that message to another person, and if that person comes to believe, then the kingdom of heaven becomes that much stronger in this world. It is one more connection between God's perfection and this broken world. And the more we spread it, the more God's love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness comes to inhabit this world. This is our enormous duty and our privilege. We are the recipients of God's Holy Spirit. We are the connection point between heaven and earth. We bring to this earth God's love, his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness because we ourselves have received it. And we ourselves could not house the Holy Spirit without it. So I say to you all this Pentecost Sunday, think seriously about your role as a member of the kingdom of God, what it means for you to be a part of the church. It's not just a membership. It's not just a club, not just something that makes you feel good on Sunday. It's something that teaches and trains you to use this superpower that has come down from on high to dwell within you. And that is God's grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness for you to spread to this world.